The Bible reading this morning is taken from the book of Ephesians, the letter to the Ephesians, and it's from chapter 3, and I'm beginning to read at verse 14. A prayer for the Ephesians. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Now, some of you will remember that some time ago, earlier in the year, Simon very kindly produced this little piece of paper for us, a little bit of card actually, with, in fact, the reading of Ephesians 3, 14 to 20, 21. And he gave it to us in order that we might use it, to read it daily, and to use it as a matter of prayer as well, prayer for ourselves and a prayer for each other. And so we're going to have a look at that, because in actual fact, it's an amazing prayer to pray. And we just look at what Paul is actually suggesting that the prayer might turn out for. He says in verse 19 to the Ephesians that he was writing to, and possibly other people as well, and I would want to say us here today, he was saying to them, I want you to be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Wow! What a prayer for you to be filled with all the measure of the fullness of God. Blind mowing, blind of mind blowing. Was it possible for them? Well, he wouldn't have prayed it, would he, if he didn't think it was? So he prayed for it. Is it possible for us? Well, I want us to have a look at how it might become possible for us. And first of all, the thing that I want to say is this. We need to have a living, intimate relationship with God as the Father. You notice right at the very beginning of verse 14, Paul says, for this reason I kneel before the Father. Now there was a time, many of you will know, I'm quite sure, when in actual fact Paul could never have prayed this prayer. Oh yes, he was a godly man, he was a religious man, and he was a man of considerable standing in the Jewish faith and so on. And when he prayed, he would never have knelt down to pray. He would pray standing, which is what they all did in those days. And here he says, I kneel before the Father. What's significant about that? The significance is this, that for years before, he had absolutely hated Christianity and all that it stood for. He hated Christians, and he wanted to do everything he could to persecute them and to stop them being witnesses for the Christian faith. And he did everything he possibly could to have them locked up in prison and, if necessary, put to death. But then, you know, many of you, what happened when he was least expecting it, walking along a road towards Damascus, all of a sudden, who was there to meet him? Jesus. And Jesus spoke to him. And he was astonished because he thought Jesus was dead, gone, buried, no longer alive. And suddenly he discovered, in fact, Jesus was very much alive. And he learned within a very short space of time that God loved him. And in spite of all the things that he'd been doing against God and against Christians, God loved him so much that through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, rose again forevermore, paid for his sins, he, Paul, was forgiven. And he discovered in a most wonderful way that he had Father in God himself. I have to admit that when I first became a Christian and discovered that I had a second father, I was amazed. I had a good earthly father, a very good man. But when I became a Christian, I discovered I had another father, and that is God, Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. And from that moment on, Paul's life was utterly and completely transformed. He was given over to seeking to fulfill the plan that God gave him for his life with humility and with obedience. And in every single one of his letters, he speaks of God the Father and the Lord Jesus exactly like this: God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, or grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, I have a living relationship, a relationship which is alive and means a tremendous amount to me in my life. Paul, writing in that letter, knew God as his heavenly Father. Jesus taught us, didn't he, to pray, "Our Father." What do you think he had in mind? Just a little prayer to be said? No. For you and I to realise that we can have God as our Heavenly Father too, in a real, intimate, living, personal way. And if we're going to be filled to all the measure of the fullness of God, that's where we start, with God as our Heavenly Father. Secondly, we need our hearts open to receive and respond, as Paul says there, to the riches of his glory. I pray, verse 16, that out of the glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love. Do any of you watch on Sunday evenings when it's on Antiques Roadshow? Yeah? Brilliant, isn't it? And can you just picture now somebody coming in with some article that they've had, and they've had it for donkey's years. It's been in a box under the bed, or it's been up in the place up in the roof there, or wherever, or it's just been in a cupboard. And they give it to the person who's had a look at it and start talking about it and said, "Where did you get it from? And did you buy for it?" No, I've just had it inherited. And they says, "Well, I need to tell you something wonderful. This is worth thousands upon thousands of pounds." And they say, "Oh, great, that's wonderful. An antique, and it's worth thousands and thousands of pounds." Now, I made a stupid mistake one day. I said to my wife, "Barbara, have you got any people who are going to inherit you with an antique which will be really good for us?" She said to me, "You are the only antique I've got. And I don't think I'll get much money for you either." I pull her leg. I'll be in trouble for this afterwards. But these are the riches that Paul is thinking about. That's not to say that God doesn't care about our monetary needs. Of course he does. In fact, Paul knew that in another of his letters. He wrote these words: "My God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." Jesus taught us to pray in the Lord's Prayer: "Give us this day our daily bread," the things that matter to us and which we need. But no, he was talking, Paul, about greater riches than money. Did any of you see the air balloon that was not too far away from this area yesterday, I think it was, Barbara, was it, that you saw it? Anybody see it? No? Anybody seen on radio, on television? Not radio, television. The big contest that's going on in Bristol at the moment. Yeah, you've seen it. It's lovely, isn't it? But the thing that struck me was that these balloons, these air balloons and so on, absolutely beautiful, lying down, lovely kind of colours and lovely designs and so on, but useless. Until powerful wind, air, whatever else they use, is blown into them, and up they get, able to do what they're meant to be able to do. But on their own, they couldn't do it. They're lifeless and useless. Paul says in verses 16 and 17, these glorious riches, that he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Listen to this. This is rich, isn't it? And that you being rooted and established in love. Whose love? God's love. God the Father, who in fact is love. Do we not read that in 1 John? God is love. The riches that Paul is talking about are those riches. The riches of God's love, of his mercy, of his grace, of his forgiveness, of his peace, his compassion, his faithfulness. We could go on all day. Aren't those riches? Riches that go way, way, way beyond money. And you may remember Jesus actually saying to his disciples on one occasion, apart from me, you can do nothing, nothing at all. Everything you need to do in my name, you need my help. And that reminds me very much where Paul says there, strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Do you remember when Jesus died and when he came to life and went to meet with his disciples, and they were in a room, locked, terrified because what was happening, and didn't know what was going to happen? And what it says in the scriptures is this, that Jesus came into them and Jesus spoke to them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. And as he said that, he breathed on them. A little while later, we're told in the book of Acts that Jesus spoke to them again. And on this occasion, he said to them, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. Without me, you can do nothing. And then Peter, on the day of Pentecost, said to the group of people who saw what was happening, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you, your children, and all who are far off, all whom the Lord our God will call. I've actually got a balloon here in my hand. Not as big as those that were in Bristol, but it's useless. It's lifeless until, I'm not going to do this in a big way, I start to blow it up. And now it's able to do what it's supposed to do, what it's supposed to be. And I believe with all my heart that when Paul was speaking to that group of Christians, that God would strengthen you through the power of his Spirit with Jesus Christ in your hearts and fully captivated and rooted and established in God's love. That's what it means for you and me. And without that love, and without that help of the Holy Spirit, and without the Lord Jesus Christ living in our hearts and lives, we cannot be the people God wants us to be. We cannot do the things God wants us to do. We need to be open and responsive to the glorious riches of God in Jesus Christ. And finally, we need minds that understand the immensity of the love of Christ. Verses 18 and 19. May you have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. I've mentioned this to you before, I know, but I'll mention it again. On one occasion in school, I was described by the teacher in English that I was a slow learner, she said, But you get there eventually, Holt, she said. She was right, I suppose. But actually, 60-odd years later, 65 years later, I am still learning. I don't know everything there is to know about English literature. I don't know everything that there is to know about English language. In fact, sometimes I seem to have less of English language than I should have, and you know what it's like. I need to go on learning. And in a very real sense, when Paul says, to know his knowledge, the knowledge of Jesus Christ, which is high and deep and wide and long, and, he says, it seems, surpassing knowledge, he's not saying to you, you can't possibly know him. All he's saying is you have so much more to learn. So keep learning, because you never, ever get to the stage where you know enough and that's it. And I was speaking with someone during the course of this week and sharing my Christian faith and so on, and said how long I'd been a Christian and so on, and I'd still needed to read my Bible and do various things and so on. And he said to me, really? He said, if you've been a Christian for such a long time and you've been to a theological college, surely you know all there is to know about the Bible and all there is to know about God and all the rest of it. And I said to him, oh, I wish. No, I have still so much more to learn. And there are times, I'm quite sure, when some of you will say to me, Jack, what does that mean in whatever verse it might be? And I'll look at you blankly and say, I don't know, I'll ask Simon. I could be genuine about that, because I don't know everything. I know I have still yet a lot to learn. And you notice that Paul actually says that you may have power together with all the saints. It's so important for us, if we really are God's people, if God really is our Heavenly Father, if the Lord Jesus Christ is our Saviour who saved us from the power of sin and death and the evil one and all the rest of it, if we are living in the power of His Holy Spirit, it is right that we should share in fellowship together with one another, because we don't all learn the same way. We don't all necessarily learn the same things in the same way. We can be helpful to each other. When Paul uses that word saints, he's not talking about some of these special things on, you know, windows or whatever. He's talking about ordinary people, Christians like you and like me. And the truth is, I have still a lot to learn. And if I'm to be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God, then I need to keep on learning, because His love is so high, so wide, so deep, so wonderful, priceless. And it's for you, and it's for me. I wonder if there's anyone here in our church this morning and you've never realised that. Oh, you've said the Lord's Prayer, but haven't realised that God actually is your Heavenly Father. You don't have a personal relationship with Him. Well, you can. That's why Jesus came, to show you how much God loves you and how much He wants to keep you in His love day by day. Well, you've never realised how important the Holy Spirit is. Remember, the Holy Spirit is there to make us aware of who Jesus is, to glorify Jesus, and to help us to discover how we can become like Jesus. Well, the opportunity for us here in this service this morning, just to pray quietly and ask the Lord to be our Father. Ask the Lord Jesus to be our Saviour. Ask the Holy Spirit to show us His strength and His power. I want to say to you that if you try to do it on your own, forget it. You won't get there. It's impossible. But I want you to look finally at verse 20. And in verse 20, we read these words. Now to Him, and that's God Paul is speaking about, to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Can you say amen to that? Amen.